Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Endless Bevels, episode 318. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by
RPGManiac05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, we've got some much playing the first week of the month, so we got some RRR.
Triple R.
And the new. So I guess I'll take it from what we've been playing, because as we established last episode, taking it to go first from what we've been playing. So, you know, I guess I'll start with the Vita, because the battle's going badly, and the war is over, and we lost, and
oh, no.
We had to move on. But hey, it's a valiant effort, but you know, you've been out of the XCOM game for a while, you forget how to set up your base, and focus on first, and research, and satellites, and all the nitty-gritty, and then it's like, oh, if I only had one more chance, and it's like, well, I could just play it again, and it's like, dude, I got stuff to play. And I think I'm going to take my vacation and keep on taking my vacation from the Final Fantasy after your crap, because I don't know if I'm ever going to go back. It's terrible.
But you love it.
And I'll move on to volume, because it's sweet stealth action on my Vita. It's in the stealth action.
Is there a bad ending to XCOM, or is it just a game over screen? Also, it actually says...
When you're little, just to, like, maximum level.
That the world lost?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, cool. There's no more.
Now, does that count as beating the game?
Like, you did terribly, but you still kind of finished, right?
I mean, you finished it, right? There's an ending. It doesn't say game over, try again. It says you lost.
It's like, hey, way to suck. Please try again next time. God, that's not a very nice game. It's not very nice at all.
So, disputed column?
I'd say disputed column, sure. So, yeah, besides that, I finished Uncharted 3. Ah, man, that game. It's like, it's, okay, the thing about Uncharted 3 is, it's like, it's weird, because there's like a masterful, epic, amazing moment that you get in the desert, and it is just, like, one of the best scenes in the game I've ever played in my life. And then the last third of the game just, like, falls through the floor, and it's like, why? Why? What happened here? And it's just, like, just shooting after you at a shooting gallery, and just, it's super annoying enemy encounters of, like, combinations of, like, RPG dudes and, like, assault rifle dudes and, like, no cover, and it's like, oh, I got blown up, now I have no health, oh, I got shot, and I'm effing dead, F you game, and then, like, the effing Deus Machina was like, oh, how's it going to go down at the end, oh, no sweet boss fight like last two games, I guess, whatever, oh, they're just... Yeah, they just couldn't control themselves, I guess. It just got out of control. It got out of control, and it's like, what's even going on here? It's like, oh, they just stacked it up too high, and it collapsed, and it's like, it crumbles under its own weight. It's like, I see what you tried to do there in Chard 3, but it didn't work. But I guess I won't hold it against you, because the first two-thirds of the game, pretty good. That desert sequence, effing amazing. That boat sequence, effing amazing. It's like, there's really good stuff there. But that third act just... You got it in my skin. You can, like, see it on stream. I was super frustrated. Like, just, I kept dying, and it was, like, not fun. And I was like, this effing game, and the enemies with, like, the effing armor, and it's like, why are they here? I have no weapons to fight these guys. Whatever. Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. But yeah.
Oh my.
After that, I was like, okay, I can see why people like this franchise, and, you know, I'm pleasantly awaiting the fourth installment, and, you know, I'm on Team Uncharted now, Nathan Drake. It's great. The characters are awesome. They built them up, and it's like, oh, man. So, pumped for that. So, yay. I get that.
So, Uncharted versus Last of Us.
Last of Us, no question, dude. Sorry. Last of Us is, like, a masterclass in, like, survival stealth. Like, it gets to you. And it gets to you. It, like, it has those effing, like, cold cut moments of, like, the winter, the fall, and, like, it just goes black, and it's like, ooh, just get you. It effing gets you. And then, like, and then the ending is so good. It's like, it got my cockles in my heart. It just, like, it was like, hey, Tekken, you like Joel as a character? Well, guess what we're gonna do to you? And you're like, no! And it's just like, why are you doing this? No! You monster! And I can't forgive him. The irreparable damage. Dude is like, yeah, it's like, I love the game, but that guy's an a-hole. He can go F himself.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then, you know, score one for Tekken, because I can add Uncharted 3 to the list of games not in my backlog anymore. So, I kind of want to go and play, like, PS3 versions to see if, like, they are, like just somehow inferior to, like, the remasters, because Blue Point was amazing, like, what they did. It's just, like, so liquidy smooth and just, but I'm like, is this really this good on PS3? Because this is effing awesome. It's like, when I go back and play this on PS3 and just be like, this is just not as good, or, so, kind of want to see that.
Only the first game you might feel like that. The other two are practically identical.
Because I was like, yeah, because I was playing, I was like, man, does this look this good on PS3? Because this would be awesome. I'm like, I was like, look how good the snow looks, and, like, the ice, and, like, the Uncharted 2, and you get to Nepal, and, like, oh, so good. And then, like, the sand, it's just, oh, yeah, dude, that was, like, when the camera pans out, and it's, like, super far away, but you still, like, you can, like, barely see him. He's, like, an ant in sand dunes. Oh, that's so good. I was just like, dude, Naughty Dog, and then that whole sequence, that was, like, 15 minutes of just, like, wandering in the desert. I was like, dude, any other game, I'd have been like, what the F, like, what's going on here? But it's like, it was magical. I was just like, man, that was like one of the best sequences in the game ever in my life. Just Naughty Dog, your master is just so good. I was like, oh, this is what it's all about. It's all about video games. Just like, yeah, this awesome experience. It's like, oh, I will carry that with me the rest of my life, because it was so good. Just
the rest of your life.
Yep. Sure. Just it's up there with Suicide Mission from Mass Effect, or the ZRG Battle in Mass Effect 1, Mission Mass Effect 2. Just like those moments. You're just like, I never forget this rest of my life. Just, okay. And then besides that, the amazing ones. Oh, so good in Uncharted 3. I played Timbo, the Badass Elephant. I'm switching to my digital games this moment. I'm streaming. And it was fun. It was a fun time. I thought I got to the end, but then it does this, like, Mega Man. It's again, it's effing awesome, I gotta say, though, because, like, before I, like, begin to, like, it's, I'm gonna gush all over this one, because it's like, it's so good. But, like, man. So basically, Timbo is an elephant, obviously. And, like, there's no dialogue in the game. It's pretty cool, like, what they do with the cutscenes in between missions. It's all, let's do this, like, really storyboardy, you know, cartoony drawouts. You know, give you a brief exposition here, not too crazy. And they're just gonna send Timbo in, because he's our secret weapon. And he can just, like, charge through stuff. And he's like, yeah, it's just really good. It's just really good. Like, he has, like, really basic controls, but they're very deep. Like, the things you can do with them is like, there's actually a lot of stuff in here. Because, like, you can jump, spin dash, Sonic style, and then, like, charge with your tusks, and then, like, jump, and uppercut with your trunk. It's great. And, and spray water. You have, like, a water meter, so you can, like, get water in your trunk and spray it to, like, put out fire, because fire damages you. And it was effing awesome. And it gets, like, super... It has, like, a 45-degree arc in, like, difficulty curve. It kind of spikes when you get to, like, the fourth boss, though. It gets kind of ridiculous. Third boss. It doesn't get too ridiculous. It kind of gets too ridiculous, because, like, it kind of turns into, like, a bullet hell boss, and I'm like, what is even going on here? It's like, I'm only because I'm so awesome am I prepared for this, but I think there's other people that would play this game and be like, I can't even get past this part and just give up, because... And then, like, it's cool, because you beat that part, and it's like, Wily's Castle from Mega Man. I'm like, there's even more, so, yeah, you're not over. It's not over yet, Timbo, so I'll probably be finishing that next week, hopefully, and I very thoroughly enjoyed this game. It was, like, a lot of momentum in your character when, like, you're just going across the screen or, like, through obstacles. It just feels unstoppable, kind of like what I would imagine in that Incredible Hulk game that's open world, and so... That was awesome, because I was just like, yeah, just charging through dudes with my trunk, and just, yeah, jumping through stuff. It's like, I'm an elephant. It's great. And, like, every the start of every level, he's like, brrr, with his trunk. It's great. He needs peanuts and gives him health. It's like, this is adorable. It's like, I love this game. It's like, I fell in love with it. It's awesome. It's amazing. What else did I... Oh, yeah. I made a lot of progress in Need for Speed, because I didn't know how far I was, but I played it. I picked it back up again after not having played it for a while, whenever the last time I played it was. And it's cool, because they added more stuff, just like last time. So they added, drag races, they added these, like, player versus player, like, race thingies that you can do if you just want to do that. They're called something like Playlist. And they still have the most wanted thing, which is cool. And they also have New Game Plus now, so it's like, you finish the game, and you can just start it over, and it's, like, even harder when you play it again. So it's like, New Speed, New Game Plus. I take and applaud you. That is...
It's actually clapping.
I don't think I've ever seen New Game Plus in a racing game before. That's new, and I like that. I like just taking the cards that you like, just play through the game again, because you didn't have them at the... And it's funny, because, like, the thing we talked about week before last week, talked about, like, the whole, like, if you just grind up for, like, a super awesome thing, can you just, like, you know, is it really worth it? Because, like, in this one, they apparently added some, like, hot rod car or something that was in the game last time, and it was, like, super expensive, and I was like, well, I have a ton of credits, and I wasn't gonna buy the other car that was, like, expensive, because it's just, like, well, I already have a Ferrari, and it's not, like, this old, not awesome Ferrari, so I was like, let me buy this most expensive car, and it was, like, super OP, just, like, destroying all their speed events, and I was like, yes, I could just plow through, and I did. So I finished the speed discipline and the drift discipline, and I just have left the crew and the outlaw. I think there's a fifth, but I'm not sure if the discipline is just, like, you do races with your mechanic. So that was cool. So two down, three to go. And then all the other stuff. And they might even add some more stuff before I'm done. And it was great. Still looks effing amazing. Just every time I play it, I'm like, yeah, looks so good. Frostbite Engine. Oh, yeah. Snow isn't there, but it was. It looked amazing. And Frostbite Engine. Rain all liquidies. Rain frozen. So same type of matter, but different. Yeah, whatever. What else? Oh yeah, dudes. Okay, so, Hitman. Sapienza. Yeah. This effing game is like, I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about it as far as like the whole games of service, because it's like, on the one hand, I would really like to play my games, like, and have it all be there when I get it. But then, on the other hand, it's like, if that's the case, then I would just crack out on them all and like, blah, 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 the first like day or within the first week and never touch it again. Whereas with this one, it's like, you know, I kind of feel like when I play this game, I put on my imaginary 47 suit and my imaginary 47 tie and open my imaginary 47 briefcase and I'm putting in my tools of like, what am I going to do to kill these people? What are my tricks of my trade? Am I going to strangle them? Am I going to poison them? Am I going to shoot them in the face? It's like, oh, just every, and there's so many toys. It's great. And, like, I love it. It's like, this is my like, I don't know how to like describe this, but it's like, yeah, man, I feel like game, like it doesn't be so bad, but in like such a good way, because it's like these guys, like the people you're killing, it's like they're evil, so it's like they deserve it, and it's like, oh, you get to like just have fun with your gadgets and be like, oh, what tricks am I gonna do today? It's like you're like an evil Batman. It's great. I love it. It's like, ooh, am I gonna drop the stalactite on him? Am I gonna sneak up on him and strangle him? Am I gonna drown him in a toilet? I don't know. It's there's a thousand ways to get a cat, and now Tekken has learned that applies to humans as well, because you can just kill them so many ways. It's great. It's great. I love it. It's that's terrible to say, but it's true.
I just about to say
in this game, I have realized
way too much enjoyment out of it.
Because it's like, man, you find in this mission, there's also two targets, and like blow up this virus thing that they're making. And it's like, it's cool because one of the targets you can like meet undercover as a journalist. And then once you kill her, you get the key card to the lab. So it's like, it's kind of like the thing it did with Paris, where it's like, as you play it more and more, which is why I like this about this game, as you play it more and more, like do more and more hits and you get more familiar with the level, it's like, you get your way about the level of like how the layout is and like the fastest way or like the most efficient way to like, you know, do whatever. So it's like, you're like, okay, well, if I kill her, take the key card, get to the lab, destroy the evidence so that the cameras that spot me when I go in can't spot me. And it's like, you just get it down so good. It's like, I am 47. It's like, you become 47. It's like, oh, it's so satisfying. Like every time. And then it's like, as you're going through, like there's more and more challenges of like, oh, you choke them both with barbed wire. Check if you shoot one in the face. Check if you drown one. Check if you throw one off a cliff. Check. It's like, oh, I'm getting good at this. I'm such a good assassin. It's like, it makes me feel like, oh, man. Like I said, I just put on my imaginary 47 suit, imaginary 47 tie. Got my, well, actually, mine's like, you know, purple suit, yellow tie, because somebody's going to die. Oh, my. Ooh, yeah, I said it. What? And, yeah, go to town, because watch out, because Tekken is crazy vacation. He's going to kill you, because he's going to see you coming. He'll give you the gift of death. Maybe in your sleep, if you're late. Oh. But yeah, that was, Hitman.
Wait, I don't understand the purple suit yellow tie part.
It's the Joker reference.
Yeah, it's just a reference. It's in the song, you know. It rhymes.
Don't worry. It took me a second to get it to it. Don't worry.
Die rhymes with tie no matter what color it is.
Wait, what?
Die rhymes with tie.
Yeah.
No matter what color it is.
Exactly, yeah. Purple suit yellow tie.
don't be too much.
I guess right. Like 47 just wear like, you know, black suit,
just white, don't read too much into
shirt, red tie. I guess the color doesn't matter because you're going to die anyway. Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, like Tactical Zed, yeah. You'll never see it coming anyway.
So well, I should point out that Joker's not as subtle when it comes to killing people, so it's not really,
Still no elusive contracts, though, so I'm still waiting for that. And then also, and then there was Sarajevo 6, new target. I was like, I got this. Totally took him out, like, no problems. It was great. I was like, oh, that's so satisfying. I was like, oh, I keep wanting to say, like, I don't know if I want to, like, give this game the benefit of the doubt. Just like, I love this game, but it's like, the first two missions are pretty effing good. And it's like, I just keep going back and killing people, and it keeps feeling great. So, it's great therapy for me after work, I gotta say. So, Hitman. Square Enix, IO Interactive, good job, dudes. Also, round of applause for you guys as well, because I'm loving this game so much right now. Yes. And this one, oh yeah, and this like stage is cool because like you're in a village and Hitman's in like his sweet like vacation clothes. I'm like, you're not even in the suit. I'm like, I haven't even worn the suit. This is actually I haven't worn the suit in this mission, but whatever. And then like if you're a lockpick, you can just like go into some houses, some buildings, and like just knock out people. Be like, oh, I got a costume. Thanks, person. That well, you won't know because you're unconscious. But hey, thanks. You helped the cause of taking down these evil people. So good job, you. And it's pretty big stage, because there's, like, a giant section that's, like, a village, and then there's, like, a lab that's under the thingy, and there's a mansion. It's great. It's great. It's like, ah, yeah, this game. It is growing on me. And, yeah, hopefully the next chapter is just as awesome, and we can have some elusive targets, because I'm kind of wanting to, yeah, you sweet toys to kill people on. Were you going to say something, Tropical?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see what else I have. Hitman, for Speed, Timbo, there's another game, but it's that one I don't like to talk about, which we should just call Voldemort on the podcast now, because it's like that game that won't be named. It knows what it effing is, but it can go F itself.
It doesn't make sense, because if you say his name, doesn't that technically mean you're saying it if you're not supposed to be? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
In any case.
Well, it's on the downswing again?
Yeah, it is, because I had a rage moment in the raid. I don't want to talk about it. It was basically just a terrible loot drop that should have been an awesome loot. Yeah, Tropical. That's correct. It's on the downside. It knows what it did. F that game. Yeah. It can go die in a fire. Hope it fails in the long term. Doesn't make it 10 years, collapses, and that studio goes bankrupt. And so does the publisher. And it'll be one more nail in the coffin of the industry that's going to die anyway, because we already predicted it. So have fun with that. But yeah, I did play a bit of Walking Dead 400 Days, because I was like, let me get this ready so I can carry my save over to Season 2, and then start that. Didn't delete this off my hard drive on PS4, and never played it, even though it's a modern classic and an amazing magnum opus from Tell. And I will miss the inclement time if I... But I still have, like, my PS3 version and 360 version, like, it's totally fine. I can, like, go through and, like, be evilly and silently, and I've, like, you know... That game has, like, so much mileage in it, it's fine. Even though I know what's going to happen, it's cool. I could do different stuff at the end, because I haven't done different stuff at the end. And on this one, at the end, I totally, like, choked a dude out, and I was like, ooh, Lee, yeah, I'm evil now. Well, I'm not evil, but it's like, I kind of saved the tainting of Clementine having to kill some dude and shoot him in the head. I was like, ooh, yeah, that's even better than my PS3 and PC. It's like, because I'm a killer, and I just did it, so yeah. I saved you Clementine, because I was all like, oh, well, that thing that other people might have you do, and then I will tell you not to do, because it changes people. And you won't know that still, unlike the other playthroughs I've done. So, this time, it works. Yes. Haha. And, yeah.
My Clementine is seeing things. She's done things.
All our Clementines are seeing things.
She's done a lot of things. She might not be proud of.
That. I was like, and she has seen a lot, and continues to keep on going, not lose it, so.
She's done a lot. She's done a lot.
And that's all I've been playing. Did I talk about the ending of Michonne?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I played that too, if I didn't talk about it last time, but... Oh, the way for Season 3, oh my gosh! Like, basically, Michonne to me is just, like, showing that, like, they took the... not the elements, necessarily, that are in Tales of the Borderlands, but it's, like, if they want to make it more action-y, they could totally do it, cause if it's that character, because he's just way more... I'm not going to sit back and... let these walkers come towards us. I'm going to, like, face them head on and take them out with my machete. Oh, people with guns. Pfft, I got my machete. Chop, 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 step, step, step. Ooh, Michonne. Michonne. Ooh.
Wait, does that still take place in the same, like, universe? Or yeah. Is it just, like...
I think so. Actually, it does, yeah. Because there was a video on the Telltale's YouTube channel where Robert Kirkman was all talking about... blah, 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 blah. This takes place between issues, blah, 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 blah. But then also in the universe... You have Clementine Lee, so it's in the same universe.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So we might we might run into them in Season 3 then, or whoever that is, maybe.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, they've always said that the Telltale games take place in the comic universe. That's why you had Glenn in the first one, and Herschel.
Until Glenn, like, said, screw this, I'm out of here.
Like, yep. He went to join the comic book group.
It's like, sorry guys, I have to go be in canon, so...
yeah, that was some interesting news this week on The Walking Dead Season 3, where they talked about how the time period it's going to take place in is around where the comic is right now.
Yeah, that was cool. So it's be past where the
yep. Like so it's going to be
they jump forward in years, like after a certain point.
Oh my!
Possibly kind of disappointing. It's going to be a time jump again for Clementine and whatever happens.
Which means they could still like her, do the whole. Yeah. They all end up in the same place because stuff happened in that.
Yeah, they can talk years. About it differently, but where you are might be the same.
Although I guess he probably needed to get older, so the stuff she's doing makes more sense. Because a 12-year-old shouldn't be doing what she's doing.
Or if you're trapped to Cole, so what they're going to do to her can happen. ...
Yes, exactly.
Oh my. Now I'm worried. I don't think my Clementine's ready for that. Or maybe she is. She's done a lot of things. My poor Clementine. She's tainted. She's so tainted.
Yeah, so it's been 2 weeks. I don't remember anything I played the week before, except for, and I think this is the title, Disney's Castle of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse.
Mickey was the Mouse.
Remaster, or not remaster, like remake of an old, I believe it was a Sega Genesis game.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Because I played that one.
Did people like that one back in the day?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I remember playing it a lot because, you know, Disney, but
and apparently it was really hard.
I think it was.
Yeah.
At the time. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure that because I was a child. You got it, and I was like, man, this game's hard.
I didn't pre-order it, so I don't have the original version included. I just have the new one. I finally finished it.
Yay, Tropical finished again.
Yay!
Took him forever, but he died. He did it.
I have no idea.
His daughter helped him.
Because I played a bunch of it before, and then last week I was just like, okay, I'll scroll down to the very bottom of the list of all my digital games on my PS3 and see which one is there. Because that will be the one that I installed first after my hard drive crashed. And it was, well, this game was the third one. The first one was Ghosts, and it's like, oh, I finished that. And the second one was, I think, Sports Friends. And I was like, well, I can't finish that. So Castle of Illusion it is. And I played through it, and it's like, man, it was pretty simple, but I think it's because I didn't go for all of the gems. I just went for completion of the story. But I really like how much sort of Disney detail is in the game. In the final boss fight, like the, what's her name? Miserabelle? The, evil queen from Snow White. Yes. No, that's Maleficent.
That's Maleficent, yeah.
Miserabelle is the, I think it's the Snow White one, because she turns into the old lady who, with the apple, is like, okay, yeah, that looks like her. And she, like, recites these rhymes as she's doing the boss fight attacks. Like, it's a traditional style boss fight, so there's different patterns of attacks that you have to memorize. And part of it, like, I started using the rhymes themselves as ways to predict what's going to happen, because she's like summoning spirits, and so the rhymes are like the spells to summon the spirits and get them to do certain things. And there was one part where they swirl around the room, and I was waiting for, I forget the rhymes in its entirety, but there was a part where she says something like, circle now, twist and turn. And I was like, oh, okay, like this is when the spirits start to contract back into the center. So this is when I have to jump. And before that, I don't have to jump because they've spread out so far that there's like a gap that I can just stand in. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. This feels Disney-esque. Another thing that I noticed, with Mickey's ears, they did a really neat thing where in traditional 2D animation Mickey Mouse, his ears, like, they don't stay in the same place on the top of his head all the time. Mickey's ears are in different places depending on which direction he's looking, so that they always have that iconic, like, Mickey Mouse shape. If it was, like, in silhouette, it would always, like, it always looks right. But if you think about it, if it was in 3D and his ears were, you know, attached to his head where they appear to be, when you're looking at him head on, when he turns to the side, like, you wouldn't see two circles. You would see, like, a line or, like, the profile of his ear. And in some games, that's what you see. But in Castle of Illusion, they did the thing where, like, his ears move depending on where, what direction he's looking in relationship to the camera. And it does that traditional 2D animation thing. And it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. I don't, like, Disney Infinity, I don't think does that either. Disney Infinity just has, like, a true 3D Mickey Mouse. And it's like, okay, when its camera's on his side, then you just see the profile of his ear, which is not how you would see it in any Mickey Mouse cartoon. So I thought that was pretty, pretty neat. Like, just the little Disney details in that game. Very good. Now I'm faced with the dilemma. Actually, a lot of games. What was the other one? Blue Estate. Assassin's Creed Black Flag, even. I'm just like, do I delete them and, you know, get some space back? Or do I keep them until I possibly never, but
just delete them.
Think about going towards 100%.
You don't need them. Just delete them. It's like, I don't know. That's actually good.
Like, well, three, cool. The problem to finish them was enough. I don't know if it's going to be worth the effort every time. Or if Ariel probably had the same issue of like, time to 100% this. Yeah, you barely have enough time to finish the game. I don't think it's a good idea. Just saying.
He's right. And you already get distracted very easily to begin with, so.
Or yeah, you might just like sit there one day looking at them being like, which one do I complete 100%? Instead of being like,
which one do I complete
finish the game at all? And then you didn't even play anything that day. It's like, yeah, I was just staying in my games like I do sometimes. And yeah, it wasn't even games I hadn't finished yet. It was games I was trying to 100%. So that happened.
Basically.
Well, maybe. Oh, actually, I just remembered, like, last week I also played World of Tanks for the first time on PS4. Because I downloaded... There was a...
I saw you tweet something about it. Because I was like, playing World of Tanks? What's going on?
There was a promo about... on PSN. I forget what the prize was, but it was like, oh, if you register and then download some free-to-play games, you'll be entered into some sort of drawing. And I was like, oh, okay.
Because you didn't win.
Yeah, I guess I didn't win, but I downloaded World of Tanks. Because I wasn't sure if it counted the games that I'd already downloaded, which is, like, most of them. So I was like, okay, I'll download one.
Because it's tropical. So...
Actually, it's funny. I was on the store today looking at the, I was thinking about, like, cause they had the May the 4th be with you. So I was like, well, I have enough money to buy this throwback bundle, all the Star Wars games. And the, for whatever reason, Star Wars, the game doesn't come with that bundle. I was like, well, I can get that. Or I can get Enter the Gungeon. Or let me just browse the store to see if there's anything in here. I was like, oh, there's a ton of free games here. Cause it's like, I put it by, like, order it by, like, price. And it's just like the first, like, three sections are like free. I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of free to play on here.
So many free-to-play now. World of Tanks is not bad. I wasn't sure what to expect, because my impression of that type of game comes from War Thunder, which I downloaded briefly when it first launched on PS4. And it was very hard to get into... it's a dogfighting game. And I just remember... You know, it felt like typical free-to-play stuff. Went in... There's a whole bunch of ads about buying currency and packs and stuff like this. And then you get into the actual game and you're just getting destroyed by people who have been playing like way longer than you have. And it's like, this is not that exciting to me. World of Tanks it did not feel that way at all. In fact, I was starting to get really into it because, well, for the advertisements part, like they, I guess, had restraint in the beginning for a new player. They give you things very slowly. It's like, so they gradually introduce new stuff until it took a while before they finally were like, okay, so here's the shop. You can buy these things with, you know, the in-game money, or you can like use real money and stuff. It's like, okay, so we've reached the free to play point here, or the, please pay us point of the game.
Please pay us point.
but before that, it was like, oh, it's all very fun. Like driving the tanks around itself is really fun. It's set up in a way where it's, the games are pretty short and there's like five or six different levels of tanks. And in each level, there's a whole bunch of different tanks from different countries and stuff like that and different historical time periods. And each match is basically, I think it can be up to 15 on 15 tanks. And you're just trying to capture the other base or destroy the other team. So it's sort of like SOCOM, except it's control instead of like capture the flag type game modes. And so at my level, mostly I can only get like medium tanks and light tanks, which are essentially like the scout class tanks. So I'm supposed to like go, you know, use my superior driving speed, get out there and spot enemy tanks so that my more powerful tank buddies behind me will know where they are and then just can start, you know, tanks can shoot pretty far. So like, so that's what they're supposed to do. And I'm just supposed to use cover so that they can't spot me and hope I don't die while I'm out there. And it's like, oh, so even as a new character with pretty crappy level tanks that, you know, are totally unupgraded and stuff, you feel like you have some use in the battle. Which, you know, War Thunder was like totally not like that. And I think like, even like Planet Side 2, it felt like I'm so weak and there's, oh no, no, it was a Dust 514. Like once the game was out longer as a character that I often neglected, I was just like, I felt very weak against people who were actually playing the game seriously.
Playing as my neglected character.
So it was really cool. Like World of Tanks, it just felt like, and the game length is pretty short per match. So it never felt like you were, what is the term? You know, there are certain games where you know you're going to lose, and yet there's nothing you can do about it, and you just have to suffer until the entire half an hour game is over. And it's like, oh, finally. I don't want to rage quit, but I'm basically sitting here being very ineffectual. Yeah, World of Tanks, I think, is they've done a pretty good job, and it seems pretty fun. Probably going to play more of that one.
Don't do it, it's a trap.
Games that I have paid money for, Paragon, which is in beta, but I had to pay money to get into it.
They're very like, free weekends.
Apparently, they're also going to sell a retail copy of this free-to-play game. It's like
that's not
$60.
How free-to-play works.
Of course it is. What are you talking about?
So I think they might be doing it as sort of like people look at free-to-play and they're just like, oh, and don't even want to touch it, you know, sort of ignore it. So they're going to trick people by putting Paragon in a box in stores, and then they're going to buy it and it's like, oh, this is a box game, and they're going to play it. And that's
I didn't have to spend money on this
one. Like, wait a minute.
Well, you know, they're also going to give them more stuff. So there's like a whole bunch of master challenges that come with it, a bunch of in-game currency and stuff.
No stuff
but still, know. Yeah, it's
funny.
Weird.
There's like a page, I think, in like this week's GameStop ad, like the last page, and it had like that game, I'm not going to say, Silver. And I was like, this is what it's come to. We're just a bunch of cha-ching machines. That we just keep on keeping on because, yeah, keep on putting money in because you're not going to get anything out. That's, or whatever we were talking about when that one time we were talking about the slot machine thing. Just, yeah, just keep on pumping us. Keep on pumping us. See how much more you can ride us, Activisions of the world. And yeah, the crash is coming. We know it. So you're not getting anything out of Tekken. So have fun riding all the fluffers while you can because it's not happening to me. So
those are really funny. Those are also like tricking people because it's basically PSN money, but you know, like gift cards, you can print whatever the heck you want on the front. And so they print like Destiny Silver or
Chubbly
something else.
You said it. You said it. You said the D word. Good job.
How did you do that, Tekken? I mean, Tropical.
Trigger word. Trigger word.
Everyone take cover. Everyone take cover.
Anyway, going back to Paragon, it has been 8 hours in game. I have played 12 games. And I finally have some understanding of what I'm supposed to do in the game. So yay! And I've been playing the same character the entire time. I have access to other characters, but I've just been like, no, I'm going to learn this character and figure out what to do. It was about three or four hours in when I finally decided to dig into the card system. Basically, the thing that lets you, well, one of the things that lets you improve your character in-game is buying different types of equipment. And in Paragon, that equipment is all sort of card-based. So they'll do things like increase your damage, increase your chance of critical damage, increase your attack speed. Those are the stuff that I've been focusing on because my character, Murdoch, he counts as like he has high regular attack damage. And so I just chose things to augment that aspect of that character. But yeah, like the cards, you get to customize the deck that you bring into each game. And that's sort of the sort of account level progression that you have because, you know, in each game is when you, like, you progress your character every single game, from level one. But account level, you unlock these cards that lets you decide, okay, I'm gonna bring these cards in order to augment my character in game in this way. And so that was like the first time I dug into that. I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. Like I had noticed that some Murdochs that I was fighting against, they could shoot way faster than I could. You know, it didn't feel like they were disabled and just like didn't know how to cock a shotgun. And they were just like, how are they shooting so fast? And then I realized that, oh, it's because the different cards that they chose, like they're just augmenting their attack speed. I was like, oh, so I should do that. And so I built a deck that gives me more powerful basic attack, but also faster basic attack. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm improved in that way. And so I was becoming more powerful, but I was still, I think I've only won like 4 games out of the 12 that I've played. Also, 12 games in 8 hours lets you know that Paragon games sometimes can last a really long time, like 25 minutes into the game. Sometimes you have no idea. It's like, have we made any progress at all? Like, it's 25 minutes. And I was like, nope. No one has made any progress yet. We're just like fighting along the center of the map and no one has destroyed any towers and we're just sort of stuck in this stalemate here.
That is super weird.
Yeah, those games are just like, oh my gosh.
There's games where it's like Counter-Strike Go or stuff like that where it's like sometimes sounds and then like just a Paragon is like, that is 8 games in 12 hours or whatever, but that just seems absurd when you look at like how fast a match like Clash or I guess Team Deathmatch on like that is interesting.
Long time. And I think that is pretty typical of like traditional style MOBAs, like League of Legends. Cause I often see like League of Legends players or people who watch League of Legends, they'll be like, man, I'm so envious of Heroes of the Storm's audiences where the games are only like 20, 30 minutes. And I'm like, that's insane. It's like baseball versus, I don't know. What's a shorter game?
Basketball.
College basketball.
Like, yeah, like baseball or NASCAR sport.
It's crazy. But, you know, actually, that should have been a clue, because once I got to my 12th game and I was playing the 12th game, it started to click, and I was like, oh, I sort of understand now how you're supposed, like, how to play the game strategically. Like before, there were teams sometimes where like they would just be running through the jungle, and the purpose of the jungle in MOBAs is like there's these neutral bad guys out there, and if you kill them, you get XP. And if you don't kill them, then you don't get that extra XP that's in the jungle, and you only get the XP from fighting the other side's minions. Some teams, they would just run into the jungle at the beginning and then just start running all over the map as a team. And it's like, this is weird. Like, how are you guys choosing where to go? And I'm just following you guys and I have no idea what's happening. That is not the way to play necessarily. Like, I guess if you're a good coordinated team, that is a way to play because your hope is like you'll find someone from the other team all by themselves. And then it's a 5-on-1 and the one is going to be at a severe disadvantage. And so you're just roaming around, hoping like this death train caravan, looking for easy pickings. But the general way I think you're supposed to play is you just keep your minions alive in each lane, hoping that they will eventually be able to get to the towers, and then the towers always attack minions first, unless an enemy hero attacks a hero under one of the towers, if that makes sense. So if heroes are fighting under the tower, then whoever's tower it is will defend the guy in that area being attacked. So it's like, it sort of has, it's like tower, the tower's AI is to attack minions and defend friendly heroes. That takes precedent. So basically, you always have to have minions around you in order to win. And so if you're playing sort of a standard style rather than the roving caravan of murderous crazies, you're just sort of waiting for these opportunities where, like, what if it's like hockey, like if one guy is down on the other side, you have the advantage momentarily. And so that's when you want to push against someone like the other side's towers. And if you have like a bunch of like three of them are down, it's like 5-on-5 game and there's only two of them over there. Like, we have a huge advantage right now. We should destroy, you know, we should just run over there and kill one of their towers off. And defense, like, it feels counterintuitive, but it, especially if you play Heroes of the Storm, like Heroes of the Storm, basically, if there's a bunch of guys, on the other team in an area and you're just by yourself, you don't want to go over there. But if you're defending towers in Paragon, all you have to do is run up to the guys who are attacking your tower and then try to get hit by one of them. Because the moment that he hits you, the tower turns and starts shooting at him, and the towers just destroy people like so fast in these traditional style MOBAs. So it's like, that's what you want to do. So if there's like a melee guy just like wailing on the tower, you just try to, or actually the fun one is ranged characters, because the tower, the thing that you're supposed to attack is sort of above the ground. I basically run in and I'll just like jump up and down in front of it until one of their shots hits me. And then the tower is like, oh, you done it now. And then just like destroys the guy. But yeah, the 12th game, I think we won the 12th game. So one of my four wins was that 12th game where I finally figured out, now it sort of makes sense. Now I know, you know, when people are doing the right thing and when people are just running around thinking it's like, yeah, let's find someone. Let's kill him. Like, that's not how you win. Like, winning involves taking down the core and pretty much nothing else. So, starting to get into Paragon. And that's why, well, once I understood Paragon, I was like, now I want to take another look at Battleborn. So, yeah, I will be doing that at some point. But finally, the Overwatch beta came out early access on Tuesday. I am so excited for the game. And the moment it went live, I went on to play, and I have played just so many games. It is so good. Have I talked Overwatch at all?
I played on a closed thingy, but you didn't talk about it before.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, Overwatch is very like not MOBA at all. It basically is Team Fortress, except that instead of classes. About... Yeah, I think
yeah,
I did.
Because I was like Pokemon, Fire type, Grass type, or Defend, Attack, Support.
It is it is still super cool. Like, it really is the characters that makes this game. The characters, not just personality wise, which you only get a little bit of. It's sort of like Left 4 Dead, the way you learn about those characters just by them chatting and stuff in game. It's beyond just that, like the abilities that each one has sort of speaks to the type of character that they are, and the abilities, it's just so fun to figure out how to use them. This week, the last time I played a whole bunch of D.Va, who's a tank character, and the support characters, so Lucio,
Zenyatta.
Yeah, that guy.
So I'm using him right now.
He is. Oh, he is so good. Like, he has two orbs that he can throw. And one of them is a healing orb, which you throw on your teammates, of course. And then the other one is a destruction orb, it's like a debuff on enemies, and it makes them super vulnerable to death.
It does.
You just, like, some characters, you know, they're like tanks, and you'll throw the destruction orb on them, and then you yourself, like you, the support character, can kill them in 4 hits. It's like, that is awesome. This week I was like, okay, I'm going to try to learn some of these characters I just could not figure out at all during closed beta weekend. And so I tried Genji yesterday and discovered how good the robotic ninja is. So last time I was talking about his animation is really cool. Like you just see this hand, this sort of Deus Ex mechanical hand in front of you that has shurikens, you know, between each finger. And when he reloads, like they just come out of his arm and then he has more shurikens. It's like, oh, that looks so awesome. But I was just like, I wasn't effective at all with Genji. And it's like, I couldn't understand why. Until I realized that shuriken, while they are mapped to your like main fire button, are not actually, I don't think they are actually your main method of doing damage. Like he's an offense character. And I thought, so that means like high mobility, low health pool, but does a lot of damage, right? But with shurikens, like I was running around and just throwing tons of them at people and they just weren't dying. It was taking way too long. I was like, I don't understand how this guy's an offense character. And then I realized that, oh, you have to use his sword. one of his special abilities is he pulls out his sword and then deflects the bullets that people are shooting at him back wherever your cursor is pointed. And I upload this on Twitter. There was a match where we came in and we were supposed to attack and escort this, what do they call it? Like a payload. It's just like this rocket ship or whatever to a certain point on the map. And the defense team gets to come out and sort of set up where they want to defend from first. And then you on the offense team get to come out and try to kill them all so that you can move the payload. And the match started and we ran out and I was Genji and I ran out and I saw two people had chosen Bastion to defend on top of this like bar overlooking the payload. And Bastion's special is, or not his ultimate, but like one of his abilities is he's sort of like this robot mechanical character that can turn into a turret with a chain gun on it. And then the chain gun has something like, it's just a huge magazine. Like 300 some bullets or whatever. Basically, like, usually you can mow down an entire team two or three times over just like with one magazine. It's crazy. And two people had chosen Bastion and they had parked themselves over the payload. And I came out and I saw them there. I was like, oh crap. And I started throwing the shurikens at them. And one saw me, turned and fired. And like, it was a second or two later, 200 health down to 50 health. And I was like, holy crap. What am I supposed to do? And then I thought, huh, okay, so I'm going to try this deflect move now. And I come out from behind cover, you know, point my cursor at them and hit the deflect move. And he starts shooting at me. 1 or 2 seconds later, he's dead. He killed himself because, you know, chain gun, like, it's not you deflect some of the bullets. You deflect all of the bullets, no matter how fast they're coming at you. And it was, man... The full clip is so fun. You see the thought process like, okay, 6-8 shurikens did nothing and I'm basically dead. I can't stand out there in front of them. You pull out the sword and deflect, like, oh, he's dead. And then I did it again on the second one after the cooldown. I was like, wow, that was so awesome. And so yeah, like you got to use that move as your main damage because people, I guess that's not something you have to worry about with any other character. Like, so if you're usually playing, you know, you just, anyone you see, you just open fire like crazy on them and it's totally fine. And it's like, whoever fires more bullets is going to win. But against Genji, actually, like, you can't do that, because if you do that, occasionally, you will find yourself just, like, dying and thinking, what the heck just happened? I think that game I killed them 9 times doing that. It was really cool. And then I found out, yeah, it works on a ton of different projectiles and looks, there are varying degrees of how awesome it is in my head. Because you don't actually, it's hard to actually see the projectiles fly back. Everything is happening very quickly. But there's Farah? Is that her name? She fires rockets. And, like, you can deflect rockets with the move. And I think one of the kills in that game was Widowmaker. She's a sniper. And she sniped me with full health and died herself because I deflected the bullet back. And I was like, that was so cool! So, yes. Super excited for Overwatch to come out. RPG, you're playing it right now?
Yes.
How, what is your assessment so far? Am I right?
It is Team Fortress. I mean,
yeah, it is so Team Fortress.
That much is
Team evident. Fortress has that thing where you escort the thing to the place.
That was super descriptive, by the way.
And the one where you capture the point.
Wow, keep so, up the good work.
Yeah, it is. It is Team Fortress, but with way cooler. I don't know. Well, way more cool characters than Team Fortress 2.
I'll protect us.
So pumped for that game to come out.
Is that all you've been playing, Tropical?
Yes, that's all I've been playing.
All right, playing.
Or I guess... All of the games. Overwatch.
Well, no, because I've only played, like, because I just got the game finished just to finish installs. I've only played, like, one game so far. So,
well, that's another thing. Like, the matches are all really short. But it doesn't... Like, Call of Duty, it felt like there was a lot of downtime between each match. It like, the matches did. In Call of Duty weren't very long either. But it felt like you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And there is, like, sort of those wait times in Overwatch. But the way that they've done them... It makes them feel shorter. Like, the wait times in Call of Duty were mostly so people could change their loadouts and stuff, and there, so there was the map voting thing, and then you just, like, sit there in a text-based lobby for all this time. And Overwatch's lobbies, they just, it feels much more alive because you're there choosing characters and sort of, oh, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but in Overwatch, you can, after every death, you can change your character. You can change to a different character. Or if you're just even just sitting in the sort of your respawn area, like you can change characters. Because one of the key things is like making sure that your team has a good balance of characters. Because I think there are hard counters to the characters in Overwatch. And so... it's not set up so that if you get hard countered, then you just sort of, you know, run your head into a wall the entire game. You can actually just change to another character that you're not hard countered.
Are there any of the game types where it's like the objective is like dynamic, or is it all just like the going?
Yeah, not...
that would be cool if it was like, if there was a mix, it would fit with the like constantly switching character.
Well, I know like there was a few games that I played where at first it was like, okay, run over and capture this point. And then the moment you captured it, like a payload thing would come out and then you had to escort the payload. Uh-huh. And then other ones are like, there's one game mode where there's just a control point in the center and then both teams have to run towards it and whoever captures it and holds it the longest wins, or like they have to fill up a bar and whoever fills it up wins. And that one's like played to 2 wins, so out of 3 rounds. Then there's one that's just like it's 1 round and there's 2 points you have to capture, and it's like divided into attackers and defenders.
Is that the one where like the characters are like really bulky or
Yep.
So it's like, it would make sense in like the one where to capture the payload fast character at the beginning, like balance it out with some fast offense and like some slow for defense on the payload. On
this yeah. One, that'd be cool. Like on the payload one, sometimes when you're on defense, you pick really slow characters that have, you know, massive firepower at the beginning, because as the defense team, you get a long, like there's a fairly lengthy setup time where you get to run over there. And this is what I'm talking about with the downtime. Like, even though this setup time is essentially downtime, it doesn't feel like it because you're able to run around as your character and actually, you know, check out the map and stuff like that.
So it's kind of like Red Dead Redemption. Like you're in the like map, but you can't do anything to goof around.
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't like actually begun yet. Man, it's just so good, so fun.
RPG, you can continue.
So, yeah. Well, I finished up Ratchet and Clank. I was already, like, on the last level anyway, so I just went ahead and got it out of the way. I've been seeing, like, mixed things about the movie, so I probably just won't see it after all, but, you know.
I saw it.
I played the game, so I kind of already can figure what's going to happen anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
As I understand it, like, the game and the movie are exactly the same.
Oh, see, yeah. Except there's no gameplay. See? So, that's...
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, after watching the movie, I was more like, oh, now I want to play the game.
The game was fun. I enjoyed it. But it is now done.
It's like a, you said it's like a retelling, right? It's not like a one-to-one of a, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a reimagining of the original story.
Is it more shorter or longer? No. Cause I've seen like, everybody, like I've seen on social media is like, just blind and like, oh, but I'm
driving. Well, it's probably because they've just been marathoning it. Cause it's like, woo, Ratchet and Clank is back kind of thing. And then and we're just like, playing like hours of it.
Yeah, because I was interested in it. I was like, wow, I see game left and right. I'm not sure how long this is.
Maybe if I just yeah, like, waiting, the first day I got it, I played it like a butt ton, so I ended up blowing through it. But I mean, it was Ratchet and Clank, and I missed it, so it needed to be done. It needed to be done. But yeah. I think, like, after you beat the game, you can unlock challenge mode or whatever, but, I mean, I haven't actually tried to do it, because, I mean, I've played through the game now. What's the point? What's the point? I think I have, like, all the weapons except for the Rhino, but at this point, it's like, well, once you've already done everything, the gun's kind of, like, useless, so, yeah, that was pretty much it on that. I finished up Dark Souls 3 today as well, so that's completed. People have been doing like some odd things, because I mean, I keep getting invited to like these random communities and getting like friend requests from these people, and I'm like, I don't know you, stop doing what you're doing. But they like, people have been doing these things where they have like fight clubs and stuff in Dark Souls, because of the way some of the online components work now, with the addition of what the hell is it called? The Mad Phantoms, since they can like interact with both sides of the field, so to speak, since they can be targeted by enemies and friends alike, and they can target them both as well. So it's like, people have been doing it where they set up these fight clubs where they'll have people, they'll summon like a Mad Phantom, and then they'll summon one of the Red Phantoms for like, because you can put down dual signs too, and then they'll have those two fight it out for which one of them gets to like kill you later or something. So it's like, it's been weird. So people have been like setting up these fight clubs for, you know, the chance to kill you. It's like, it's weird. And it's like, the things people do with these games is just so, I don't know, sometimes I don't know. they just come up with the strangest things to do. So. And
at least you're having fun with this game that starts with a D, not that like the other one that starts with a D. Just saying, good for them.
But the only thing is, like, I mean, it seems like I don't know. This time around, it seems like it's more difficult for to like get the covenants to work. I don't know if it's like a server thing or a matchmaking thing, but it seems like they don't activate as often as they did in previous games, because like in the previous ones, like even like the territorial ones would activate like constantly. If you were like in a place where it was like their territory, they'll like you'll just summon like phantom after phantom until, you know, you've like either joined the until you've either joined the Covenant or just like stopped going into it. And even like the invasions and stuff thing, it doesn't happen as often as it did before, which is kind of disappointing, because it's like that's like one of the fun aspects of the game is like the online components with the different interactions with the Covenants and stuff. But I don't know, maybe it's just something that needs to be fixed, because they don't have like good servers or something, so I don't know. So there's that, but I finished that as well, so now I can just kind of just go around and like occasionally just go and hop in and try to like help people whenever I can, but I don't know, I probably won't, because reasons. So it's going to be a busy game season anyway, so it's like I probably won't be able to do it as much as I used to back when I had like the extra downtime. But now it's like I think May is like my only break month, so it's I don't have like
a Valkyria Remaster. If we all buy it, Sega will be like, yeah, well maybe.
No.
When is that?
May 27th, I think.
Dang it.
End of the month? Ugh.
Just no. Because, I mean, the only thing they can bring over here now is Azure Revolution, or whatever the hell that one's called, the action RPG one. So
you don't want that one?
I don't know, because I've seen, like, the gameplay trailers, and it seems like it's not, like, really action RPG. It seems, like, very similar to, it seems similar to like the
E3's like the next Oblivion month. Game. They'll be like, we got somebody from Sega or Atlas, and they'll come on stage and be like, sorry, dudes, it's not Sonic, but it's something better. New Valkyria Chronicles. Yes.
Dreams come true.
No, because like the combat seems very, it seems like clunky, kind of like similar to like the Oblivion games, where it's like you hit something and it's like waiting for the dice roll to kind of calculate if you hit it or not, because that's what it seems like. It doesn't seem like Kingdom Hearts action RPG, where it's like you're hitting these things and it's happening kind of thing. So it's like I have to wait and see. It's like very wait and see, depending on how they actually, you know, execute it, or if anything changed, because I know it's supposed to come out in Japan like not too long from now, but I don't know. You can't get your hopes up anymore, because it's like they already didn't bring over 3, and it's like, I don't know. So, yeah. I don't care about Sega anymore right now, so I'm not even concerned about them. Atlas or bus? Atlas or bus? F Sega. F them in the B, man. F them in the B. But yeah, other than that, I played the Grand Kingdom beta a bit. The battle system's kind of cool, because it's kind of like it's a turn-based strategy game, but the way the battle system works, it's kind of like an active turn-based strategy game. So it's like you have these you choose these classes, and then each of the type of attacks they have like different ranges, and you have to like move them along like in real time, kind of, for their turn. And then based on where you are, you could do like different field of effects, maybe. I don't think that's the right term for it, but after you activate it, like it'll hit them, and like if they're within the range thing, and you could kind of like, you have to like do the action buttons to like actually do the targeting and stuff. So it's kind of like you're actively attacking, but at the same time it is still turn based, if that makes sense. It's kind of hard to describe. It's one of those things you kind of have to like play to actually understand what I'm talking about and not sound crazy. So, but apparently the stuff in the beta does carry over into some of the stuff does carry over into the real game. So they've limited the beta a bit, so that way people who get it day one aren't like super overpowered, because apparently there's also there's online play. So you can, I guess it's like there's going to be some PvP, but also like other stuff going on. So it's not like people who don't pick up the game, or people who pick up the game and didn't play the beta, won't be like at a serious disadvantage when they start, kind of thing. So It should be, yeah. It should be interesting. I already pre-ordered it, so, I mean, I'll be getting it. It's coming out, like, the week before Star Ocean and ZTD comes out, so it's like, yay, more games all at the same time. So, I think I'm already at, like, 4 or 5 games for June now, so it's... So, I have to use May as my breather month as much as I can, because soon it'll all be over. It'll just be game after game after game after game after game after game after game. Because people keep, like, announcing, like, localizations for stuff, and they should stop, because it's too much. It's too much, guys. It's too much. Thankfully, Persona 5 still doesn't have a release date yet, so that's, like, the only silver lining so far. But, yeah, other than that, I picked up Raid Gigant, but I've only played it briefly, so I can't really, like, talk about it that much, because it's a game, and I have it, but I'm, like, in the first dungeon, so it's, like, I can't really, like, go into detail about it just yet, so next time.
How was, Neo?
What now?
Neo?
Oh, the alpha.
Oh, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Talking about that, oh yeah, the alpha demo thing. That game. It's like, it's fun, like the combat is fun, but I feel like I can already kind of see, like, it seems like the developer is trying too hard to make the game hard, and that's probably going to turn some people off from it, because it's like, I think people seem to misunderstand, I guess, like, the fandom between the Souls games, because they assume, I guess they assume that it's like, oh, it's because these games are hard that people like it, but it's not, that's not actually the case. But it seems like they're trying way too hard to like make the game difficult. So like at the beginning, like just about anything can one-shot you, and that's not something that is, you know, that happens in the Souls game. So, like, at the beginning, you at least stand a fighting chance against the stuff you come across outside of, like, the boss, which is usually supposed to kill you, but it's just... I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I was able to, like, play through it and beat both missions, but I already feel like it's going to turn some people away, because they're going to be like, nah, this game is too hard. I'm not doing this. It's not fun. It's not fun for me. I don't like getting bent over, and I'm not doing this. So I can kind of already see that happening, and that's probably going to hurt them. But I feel like there'll also be some people who, I guess, will stick with it and end up enjoying it. Because there's, like,
yeah,
a lot of...
I like those one-hit kills. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you missed. Yeah. Yeah, keep trying. Oh, you missed, too. Oh, yeah. I can do this all day. All day. Oh.
Basically. And see, that's the thing, though, too, because it's, like, even, like, because even after I, like, leveled up, like, quite a bit, it's, like, there's still, like, the mooks can still, like, kill you very easily. So it's kind of, like, I don't know. It's, like, what is the purpose of me leveling up? Is it just just for show? Or, like, what's happening now? So I feel like, it's just that I just feel like they need some better balancing is what the main issue is, because it's, like, you're in the game, the weapons also degrade, but the problem is early on you actually don't have access to the stuff to repair your weapons, or your armor also degrades as well, and they degrade like really fast. So you'll get like these messages on the screen where it's like, oh,
that
this weapon or this armor is now down to
ever.
Exactly, and it's like, oh, the effectiveness is degraded because it's at 50%, and it like happens so quickly, and you don't have access to the repair stuff until like later on in the mission, and by then it's like, okay, now I'm fighting through this, like I'm already playing through this difficult game, but now I'm playing with a half broken weapon in this difficult game and trying to. So it's like, and since they don't, because like in the Souls games, you can, like, there is, the weapon, the armor doesn't, but the weapons do degrade, but they degrade relatively slowly, and they also get automatically repaired whenever you touch a bonfire, so you don't have to worry about always, like, hunting out, like, finding, going back to the blacksmith or having, like, repair parts. Like, you pretty much will almost never have a broken weapon, which is not the case in Nihoh, at least currently. So it's like, I don't know how I feel about that, because it's like the weapons don't automatically, or nothing actually automatically repairs once you reach the one of the shrines, which is like the equivalents of bonfires in this game. So it's like they're basically just checkpoints, but you still have to like find whetstones and the glue thing to like, oh, which also there's like two different repair items too. So it's like there's one for armor and one for weapons. So if you can have one and repair your weapons or something, but then you might not necessarily have the one for your armor. So you'll still have to be running around with half defective armor because you don't have the item to repair it. So it's kind of, yeah, it's not a very forgiving game to say the least. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes, because it does need some balancing. Otherwise, it's going to just be like hard for the sake of being hard. Because I initially tried to fight the first boss like a few times before I actually beat it, and I was like, okay, this is kind of I don't know, man. It's like I played the Souls games, and I can play through those. This is kind of like, it's like I don't know. This is not going to be fun for a lot of people. So it will be yeah. It's going to be interesting. But the thing is, though, even though, I mean, the only thing you can actually compare for those is, like, there are some mechanics that are similar to the Souls games, but it seems more similar to, like, the Omnimusha games in terms of, like, actual gameplay, because it's kind of, it's very, like, action-based kind of killing stuff, and it's also Japanese theme, or, like, actual Japanese, like, mythology themed and all that stuff, so it's, like, very... So it's kind of like a cross between like the Souls games and Omnimusha, and they had a baby, and the baby was angry.
See, like when I saw this, I was like, "Oh, this looks really cool!" With like the whole demon, like the samurai armor, you know, like when it kills, and it's like, "Ha ha, F you game." Take us out.
Because like, that. I'm like wondering, because like I feel there'll probably be some people who give feedback on that, and I'm assuming they're probably going to end up balancing it. But I mean, it's definitely kind of discouraging at first when you first jump in, and it's like the first enemy you run into, it's like, haha, lol, you're dead. It's like, I should not be dead so easily before I even, because they don't have a tutorial in this game. So it's like you're kind of like figuring this stuff out on the fly. So it's like you're basically running to your first enemy and you don't know how to like guard or attack or anything. So you're basically like doing this while you're fighting it. And it's like, this is probably not a good idea, because yeah, that is not how games should be. So it's going to be, yeah. One of the interesting things, though, is like instead of like the, because like in the Souls games, like people's death spots, you can like touch them and it'll show you like how they died. But in this one, if you can actually fight like a revenant, I think it's called, a revenant, if you like touch their death spot. So it'll like come to life and like try to kill you, because everything in that game is trying to kill you. Why not? So it's like it's not so don't touch it unless you plan on actually fighting it, because yeah, it's not going to show you how they died. It's going to show you how you died, because you're going to find out the hard way. So because I encountered one like very early in, because there's like one right next to like the beginning part of the game, which I guess somebody like died as soon as they started or whatever. Oh, so it's this? Like when I. Exactly. So when I touched it, and it like some like zombie guy popped out, I was like, "Oh, that's not. This is not replaying a death at all." So it was, it was a fun little eye-opening experience. Because yeah, everything is trying to kill you. So I mean, I'm probably gonna end up getting, but I just don't see this going over well with a lot of people. So. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes when it gets released, because I think it's supposed to come out like sometime this year, but they haven't they don't have an actual release date yet. So, yeah.
Aw, it might be too hard for me. Yeah, because like
too hard, you know, for a lot.
Bloodborne was interesting to me because of the setting. Demon's Souls was less interesting to me because of the setting, and I just felt like I think you could do other settings with, you know, that type of game, and this seemed like, oh, it's that type of game but with the samurai settings. Yeah, like, well, that's awesome.
And you also have like, because even after I like beat it, I was kind of like trying to do the, because they do have an online component where you can summon people to help you, but unlike the Souls games, it appears to be only one person at a time. Because like whenever I did the match, because I think you have to do the matchmaking from outside of the mission, so you can't actually do it in the mission, so I have to like matchmake and just assume and hope somebody's actually trying to summon somebody, because the way summoning works is like you go to one of the shrines and you put it's like some kind of bowl or something on the shrine, and then like the person takes the bowl when they come, and it's like a consumable item. So it's like, I think you only have a limited number of them, so it's not like unlimited like the soul game weapons or the soul game item where you can just like place your sign down and people can summon you. So it's like if you summon somebody and then like you inevitably die or something, then it's like you've already like used up a bowl for no reason, and now it's like you'll eventually get to the point where you can't summon anybody and you'll be forced to kind of try to play through the level by yourself. So it's gonna be if you're not into hard games, you should probably not play this game, because it is definitely probably not gonna be a fun time for you at all, because there's a lot of things that'll probably prevent you from like actually enjoying it, because there's a lot of like beef gates as well too, where it's like these random little portals where giant demons spawn out of, and yeah, they are sometimes hard to kill, and it's like lol, fight me in a tight space, and it's like okay, you guys are doing the most right now. You're doing the most right now. Because there's a few of them on the first level, but you like, and you have to like fight within corridors because it's like houses and stuff around, and a bunch of stuff's on fire, so you can't go everywhere. Because if you catch on fire, you get killed. So it's like everything's trying to kill you. And then it's like, on top of that, you have to like watch where you're stepping, because you might fall to your death or you might catch on fire and burn to death. And it's just a mess, man. It's just a mess. So yeah. Super fun time though. For me. Probably not for a lot of other people. But yeah, I mean, I kind of like the setting stuff. And I like the whole guardian animal spirit.
Oh, thing. Yeah, the tricksters, like the wolf thingy.
It's like you can actually, well, there's four of them available to you in the demo, so you can like switch between them at the shrine. The one I mainly used was the shark. I used the rooster. I'm assuming it's a rooster. The rooster thing briefly, but I was like, I don't like this. You are not a good guardian animal at all. So I just didn't. So I used it like briefly, and then like switched off over to the shark. And I also used the little puppy thing too, because it was adorable. And I was like, I don't even care what you do. You're adorable. So you're my guardian spirit now. So it's kind of great. But because like what they do is, it's like if they charge whichever spirit you use, it's like you're charging up a meter as you kill or hit enemies and stuff, and then once you hit, I think it's circle and triangle, that's what they were showing in the trailer, where like the spirit kind of like jumps out and it does like this little like scene where it's like powering you up and everything. So then you have access to whatever element they are affiliated with. And it like turns you into, it gives you like a super mode briefly. And, you can actually keep the super mode going as you kill things. Cause like you, whatever the souls in that the enemies let out actually charge you up. So you continue to keep the meter going. So that's kind of nice. But, yeah, each of them has their own like special abilities and all that fun stuff. So that's a cool aspect too. But so I'm assuming there's going to be more when the actual full game comes out, instead of just the four, because the menu for them seems a lot bigger than just the four of them. So they're probably going to be more based on the mythos thingies in Japan. So maybe there's a monkey and
a rat.
Maybe there's a rat. There's a tiger. Maybe there is a cow, which,
or ox or whatever.
Yeah, ox. Same difference. They're all the same.
The bear. The
various animals. That'd be kind of cool, though. And then, yeah. Magic works weird in this game, too, because it's not, like, actual magic. It's, like, not magic. So, yeah. I was lied to, and I couldn't be a mage. And I was like, fine.
And that means there's a dragon as well. Oh, man.
Sorry. Yes, there probably is a dragon.
I mean, sweet dragon.
There has to be. It's a Japanese game. All Japanese games. It's like, in some way, shape, or form, there's going to be a dragon. So, probably, yes. But yeah, that's pretty much it on that.
Alrighty, what we've been playing. And it's time for the rapid release response time. Oh yeah.
Tropical, did you download the alpha?
No. I'm planning on it. But,
well, you do realize it's like a limited time, right? So.
Till when?
I think it's until like tomorrow. So,
All right.
Or to like, I think it's to the 6th or something like that. So it's like, it's very soon.
Got to take a break from Overwatch to get one hit killed.
It's super fun. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love it, Tropical.
But yeah, it's the first week of May, so we're going to do a rapid release responses for the month of May. And again, we missed it because I was going to do this before the month starts, but stuff happened. Couldn't podcast. It was very sad. So we'll jump back a little bit. And basically, this is, if you haven't heard it before, I read off the date and title of a game. And we either get from that a yay or a eh from Tekken and RPG. And if it's a eh, then I read a brief, truncated, often truncated description off of releases.com. So we will start with a brief flashback to May 3rd. Also, we skip a lot of PC games and Xbox One games and just like either games that maybe we don't care about or systems we don't have, stuff like that. So here we go. May 3rd, Coffin Dodgers on PlayStation 4. With a name like Coffin Dodgers, most won't expect a colorful K.
I still don't know what this is. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening.
It's weird because I looked on the store and I did not see that game, so no idea.
All right, then. No response. Like also that day, Neverending Nightmares for PlayStation 4 and PS Vita.
Oh, that sounds pleasant.
Dead Nightmares.
Especially never-ending ones.
That cause them? Yes, or that.
That sounds super fun.
Or an endless amount of them. That happen all the time.
Fun. Push Me, Pull You on PS4.
I think I saw this. Dirty. But...
What did you say?
You said it sounds dirty.
Kind of does.
Yeah, I think I saw this on the store, but it's not my...
Alright.
Flash though.
The Park for PS4 and Xbox One. The
Park? What?
Amusement parks are happy places filled with the innocent joys.
And then Freddy Krueger appears. It's like, like anything can happen. Anything
sounds can like happen. You're buttering me up for some sort of, but then, ...
Basically, it all goes terribly when they get trapped inside the park. It's like, oh. Yay.
Yeah. Probably. But actually, I don't know either. And then the big one for May 3rd was Battleborn, PS4, PC, and Xbox One.
And I don't plan on it, but it did have a sweet animated intro when I was watching someone of like a really long one before the gameplay. I was like, wow, there's about a lot of people watching this. They're like, oh, I don't want to skip this scene. I'm going to skip it. But it was pretty cool because like watching it, I was like, man, Gearbox should take their art and just like make some Saturday morning cartoon show because that was pretty awesome. It's all like action-y and it's really good.
I think it's playable, isn't it? Because it's the prologue, right?
Well, it's like a little, it's like a cutscene that happens before because it's right before that you play as that lady. It's like a bunch of cool stuff. And it's all the characters from the game, so it's pretty cool. That was like wasted potential.
Cool. RPG?
Probably not.
Alright. Then RPG has this one. Ray Gigant. I think it's how you read it for PS Vita.
Yes, I do have that. So I guess yes. I already bought it.
And also the last one is Shadow Complex Remastered.
What? That's...
coming out on PS4.
I thought that was already out. I was like, I didn't see it on the store either.
Yeah.
I kind of want to get this, but then I'm like, I already played it, so when it's like cheap on a flashlight, maybe.
Mm.
It was fun. I did enjoy it. But then there's supposed to be a sequel, it never happened, so it's like that, whatever, so left me hanging.
Get it.
RPG? Shadow Complex?
I don't even know what that is, so probably not.
It's a Metroid 2D that switches to first person.
Then no. Just no.
It's also powered by Unreal Engine technology, the modern and masterful.
But no. Still no.
All right. We will move on to Let's see, anything coming out on Fridays? Nope. Was that the 3rd? I guess we move to May 10th. And wow, right off the bat, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End for PS4.
Yep. My new rule is, like, I'm not pre-ordering anything until, like, the week out, so, you know, not to be burned like I've been in the past of, like, well, I pre-ordered that game, and now it's just sitting in my PlayStation menu blinking at me with the time counting down indefinitely because it got moved out 6 months. Games I'm not going to say, but you know who you are. Jerks.
Dang.
So, you know, who
RPG? This one?
I've seen people playing it.
Oh, Gamer got a copy, actually. Weird. He's like, yeah, like a Spanish version. But I can't remember the story. He told me some story of, like, how he got it and how the people that got it. And, yep.
Is it one of the stolen copies?
I'm not sure.
In the truck heist?
Possibly.
I don't remember.
Crazy.
He paid, like, $400 for it, though, so.
Crazy.
So, yeah. You expected that to happen.
Crazy. Then on May 10th is The Binding... Oh, I guess everyone moved out of the way, so there's just one other. The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth for PS4 and Xbox One.
I haven't played the PlayStation.
Nope.
All right. Moving to Friday releases. Nope. 17th. First off is Soft Body for PlayStation 4 and PC.
Oh my.
Not sure what this is.
Soft Body blends action puzzle games with twin stick shooters. Wow, a complete sentence.
We finally got a description, yes.
Yay!
It only took 3 months, but you know.
Puzzle,
twin stick shooter.
Sounds like an odd combination.
I mean, I don't like puzzle games. I like twin.
It's like the other way around for me. Like, I like puzzle games, but I don't like twin stick shooters. So it's like.
So it depends on the blend.
Yeah. How puzzly is it?
Also, May 17th, Shadow of the Beast for PS4.
I am picking that up. I saw a video of it on, I think it was PlayStation X's YouTube channel. Pretty good and bloody and visceral and like.
RPG?
I don't know what that is, so.
Shadow of the Beast is a reimagining of the original title of.
Ah.
And then I think you.
Well, now that I know everything about it.
I think if you get it, you also get like the original Amiga version, is what I read today somewhere. Yep.
That is true.
And I didn't even like know about this game before it was all people were like, oh, it's coming back. I was like, I've never heard about this game. Cause, and like now after seeing Amiga, I'm like, oh, it was before my time. Well, that's interesting. They still bring back games like super old, apparently.
You ever see Karate? On the NES?
Yeah.
That's what Shadow of the Beast reminds me of, except obviously in a fantasy setting, on the Amiga. The new one, much, you know, a lot has been added. Alright, we're breaking the rules, so moving on. Life Goes On, Done to Death, for PS4 and PC.
What's...
A mighty king, deciding that dying would be a drag, sends his...
Oh. Oh! Yeah, no, I have no idea what that is. So.
Interesting, it could be, you know. Oh, yeah.
I think that's called murder, so it's Soul Suspect, so no. I don't think that's what is happening.
It's beyond death, though, so. Afterworldly things. Or after-deathly things.
Just, no. No taken. No.
Oh, so Valkyria Chronicles Remastered is May 17th for PS4.
But also no.
I'm getting that because I support him. And be like,
yeah. I kind of want to follow Tekken's
no
stance on this one.
Nope. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's how they get you.
I gotta get it.
Do some smart
and then
stuff.
Stream it and be like, this is a game, people. And none of you effers bought it. Well, some of us do. But now it's back because it's done so well on Steam and stuff. So out there and get it. Look how awesome.
Don't do it. That's what Sega wants. It's a trap. I don't trust them anymore.
And then they do come out at E3. If you bought Valkyria Chronicles Remastered, you get this sweet free thingy or something. And it's like, yeah, you got one, Tekken. Cause we know you got it. So yeah.
Nope. Don't do it, Tekken. It's a trap.
It's only $30. It's whatever.
Tekken, no.
And then Homefront: The Revolution for PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
I've always thought this game is stupid. So. Oh, Korea. Oh, United invades US. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
RPG.
I don't know what Homefront is, so.
It's first person.
Really? Shooter. Yes. Oh. Homefront, the Revolution, is an open world first person shooter.
Those are words I don't like. Nope.
All right. On to May 24th. The Last Blade 2 for PS4 and PS Vita.
Last Blade 2.
Doesn't it though?
Hell's Gate, the boundary between life and death. For mythologia.
Huh.
Well, I've never played the first Hell's Gate, so I think I'll pass on this one.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Sounds good. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutants in Manhattan for PS3, 4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PC.
Yes, I welcome and will always welcome our new Lord and Savior of awesome licensed games, Platinum Games, to just keep pumping them out until they can't anymore or bad things happen. So I'm getting that. Mm. And it's online co-op, so it's like turtle power all the time.
I didn't realize that was coming out this month. Oh no. Oh no.
So good.
But yeah, that game looks like it's going to be awesome though, so.
Dungeons 2 for PS4.
No idea what this game is.
The Dungeon Lord is dungeon, back. Right? And this time, he's serious in Dungeon.
Go for the love of.
Well, I didn't play Dungeons 1, so, you know, just like the last game, I'm going to pass on this one.
The funny thing is there probably isn't a Dungeons 1. They just named it like this because they're like, this is happening. This is happening, guys. But no.
And then finally, May 24th is Overwatch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah!
I'm not getting this.
Because it's super just, yes for me.
Let me run around and shoot other people, so no thank you.
No, you don't. Don't even lie to yourself.
It's like, why can they have been like Battleborn and be like, oh, dude, we have a story, and it's like coffins, but they don't. So, sorry, Blizzard. Not this time.
Sad. Then is May 31st. Yeah, I guess there weren't any weird release days for console games this month. May 31st starts off with One Piece Burning Blood for PS4, Vita, Xbox One, and PC.
I love it when my blood burns. I love it.
So yes?
Probably not, because it's probably a fighting game. They're usually fighting games.
Or Musou, which I do not like either. I haven't bought any other fighting games. I only watched a couple episodes of the anime, so that's what I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was not terrible, but it was like, you know. So.
Anime is so weird. Like, I've only seen, like, bits and pieces, which probably doesn't help matters in, like, various seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening.
I do like their sweet theme song of, like, I left it all in one piece. And something, something. I can't recite it right now, but yeah. Gotta go. Uh-oh. It's time for One Piece. And then something, something treasure in the Grand Line. Gotta go.
The theme song. Hundreds of episodes. Hundreds, Tekken. like, literal hundreds.
Well, it is a shonen. That's how that happens sometimes. Especially when you can't help yourself and be like, hey, filler arcs. Whee!
I saw one episode, like, I think Saturday, and they're, like, in some haunted castle with zombies now. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, and I just don't know anymore.
But they're on a boat in the ocean, and they're pirates looking for treasure. How many anime do you know like that RPG, just saying? Not a lot. I mean, not a lot that have been popular and gotten attention.
I'm pretty sure there's plenty of pirates.
I'm sure there are, but it's like, you know, just saying.
And I'm just saying.
It looks like sweet, sweet stuff going on where it's like, I eat a bit of fruit and it gets weird stretchy powers. Or I'm this Zoro dude with these sweet swords.
You also can't
Or I'm
this
chef dude that cooks stuff for everybody.
It's weird. Hundreds of episodes, second. Literal hundreds of episodes. Like, I think they're in, like, the 600 or 700s at this point. Wow. It's like, really? Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. A really long series.
Ridiculous.
That is, like, the point of where it's like, I look at how many episodes this series has, and it's like, I'm not even going to bother. So, yeah.
Because even Bleach at least ended, like, in the 300s. This show is, like, in the 600 or 700s at this point. It is ridiculous.
You know, looking for that treasure. Gotta go.
Yeah, you might want to give it up after this. It's like, come on, guys. We should probably just, you know, go back home.
One piece he left it in like thousands of pieces, like the Shikone.
And he lied.
In Inuyasha, just like got blown up or something.
Nope. Even Inuyasha ended at like 160, I think. Literal hundreds, Tekken. Literal hundreds. And it shows no sign of stopping. So, yeah. It's probably going to be in the thousands by next year. And, yeah. F that noise. F in the B.
All right. Heading back to May 31st. Episodes. Dead Island Definitive Collection for PS4 and Xbox One.
No.
I have the copy of Cheap, but it's on the backlog. I'm pretty sure when I go to play, I'll be like, oh man, this game is so good, let me buy the remaster, because it's that much. Because I played a game called Left 4 Dead, and I'm just saying, I think that's kind of like the apex of survival co-op actionness.
Then we got Daydreamer Awakened Edition for PS4.
It sounds more peaceful than Neverending Nightmares, so that's a good sign.
Awakened Edition is the story of the last human who...
That doesn't sound pleasant at all. They lied to me.
A little bit interest peaked.
They lied to me.
And then the final game with a concrete release date is Oxenfree for PS4.
Oxenfree? I have no idea what this is, actually.
Night School Studios' Oxenfree is a supernatural teen thriller.
Interesting. Actually, there's a small trailer for this game. It might be the one with, like, time travel. It's like a radio or something that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, this one looks pretty cool. I'm not sure how much it is.
Now my interest has peaked.
That was a pretty cool trailer. Then we got the games that don't have concrete release dates for in May. Which looks like there's two of them. There's one called Shadwen for PS4 and PC.
I don't know what this is.
Shadwen, I hope that's how you pronounce it, is a true stealth game where the only rule is to remain...
Nope.
Well, my interest is peaked because I love me some predatory stealth.
Nobody knows
right behind you, the gift of death. Stab, snap, nip, snack, snap. Snap, wow, nip, knack, wow, neck,
neck
snap.
Neck snap sound is the word you're looking for?
Not neck snack.
Neck snap?
That's a vampire stealth game.
You're not eating somebody's neck. Exactly.
Let me snack on your neck stealthily from behind.
Then finally, Assemblance for PS4 and PC. Players will wake up in an experimental machine with the ability.
God damn it. What ability! What ability.
So maybe it's like superpower type game. Maybe it's a. Actually, it could be anything.
The last game I woke up from a machine in was cool.
Give me the ability
they gave me a portal gun. I was like, oh, what does this do? I was making portals and solving puzzles, and then they tried to throw me in some fire and make a keg out of me. I was like, hey, this ain't happening.
This is portal. That's what you're saying. That's not.
You wake up in a machine in a Remember Me, too, right?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you're like, oh, what's going on here?
Can allow, but that doesn't mean you get superpowers. It could also mean you just have the ability to now walk around, or it's like, oh, you gain the ability to breathe properly on your own. It's like, oh, yay.
Those are the games of May. Hopefully you realize that this is more for entertainment value rather than actually getting to know what the games are. But it does, you know, sort of expose where the blind spots are, and maybe we'll talk about some of those games once they're out. So maybe that was another rapid releases response, something. triple R. I can barely remember what it stands for.
There's so many R's in everything. There's just so many R's.
May was it's a pretty big month. It feels kind of like October.
Did you say Doom? Because I thought Doom came out in May.
Doom is not on this list.
Oh, well, that list is
inaccurate. It's either a huge... Yeah.
It didn't come out. Nope, not on the list. It didn't happen.
As I said, it is meant for entertainment and not for information purposes or accuracy.
For obvious reasons.
I guess we can go on to the news.
Or can we?
We can't. the previous week, I think the big news was that...
Nintendo, what the F, man?
Yeah, Nintendo's...
Leaving their fans hanging, well, at least if you're at E3. I'm sure the Nintendo Direct might have some sweet games. We'll see. If not, oh man, what a long year for Nintendo.
Yeah, it's basically... They announced that E3 is going to be just Zelda, which is coming out for Wii U and NX. And NX has a release date. It's March 2017. And the reason they say is because it needs like a good software lineup when it comes out. And, you know, so far for Nintendo, that always means we'll push stuff back. So that is where they are. And, yeah, we'll see.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I'm glad I didn't buy a Wii U this console generation. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, they say that will be possibly discontinued as early as 2018.
Yay. That's when I'll buy one.
Very sad.
Because they'll be trying to get rid of it.
There was some news this week about the NX. They basically said in their latest financial report that the NX will not be sold at a loss, so they're designing it around making a profit per console. But yeah, this is when they said, oh, it needs a good software lineup at launch, so that's why we're releasing it when the software is ready, which apparently is going to be March
and not
of next
in
year.
The holiday season, which is weird, but it's Nintendo. They're kind of desperate right now. Yeah. They know what they did.
Yay, they know what they did. They don't know. They
actually don't. Then we had this year's shooter one-on-one. Call of Duty.
Of a game. Ugh, go die already.
Call of Duty's next installment, coming out November 4th, I think, is called Infinite Warfare.
That's such a terrible name.
The warfare never ends.
Yeah, I want to know, like, changes. What else did they shop around? Because, like, if you think about it, it feels sort of like a focus group type name, because if they had called it, like, Space Warfare, I think more people would have been, eh, it's not Call of Duty anymore. It's like Halo or whatever, because it's going to be in space. But they needed a name that conveyed sort of space, but also that it's still Call of Duty. Because having Call of Duty in the title is, like, not enough. So, yeah, I think that's where Infinite Warfare came from. They're like, Infinite, that kind of feels spacey, but it's not so spacey that people will think, like, it's a space shooter.
And it's not a Black Ops shooter.
Yeah.
I guess.
Makes me, yeah, it's a depressing name.
I love
but,
it.
But, so it. I would be really curious to hear, like, what else they tried or they thought of.
Crazy warfare.
But yeah, it does go into space. It's basically the story of Gundam, except there are no Gundams.
So then it's not like Gundam at all?
Earth needs resources, and so since Earth is out of resources, they sent people into space to find those resources, and so now they got these mining space colonies, and then the mining space colonies were like, hey, something something, conflict, and then they formed like the Settlement Defense Front, I think it's called, and they're like, yeah, so now we're like the space people and we're in conflict with you, the Earth people, because of control over these mining colonies.
So... I didn't even like look into the plot. I didn't totally like Gundam. It's like Zeon because they're in space.
That is Gundam, yeah.
And then Federation Online, and they're like, yep, you guys, you got the stuff we need. And they're like, well, we can have the stuff we need. We're gonna drop a colony on you mother effers. So take that, and then and then conflict ensues.
Something like that does happen, apparently. Gundam. So it starts and, like, what you see in the trailer, I'm pretty sure is the beginning of the game where everything on Earth goes to hell. And then, once again, like...
The space people always start it because they're jerks.
The back foot.
It's not really yeah. off. It's their fault, so...
They really are.
Did either of you watch it and just, like, not feel like it was... A very, like, think, oh man, this is such an awesome, this is like the non-last-gen one, right?
We're talking about Infinite Warfare?
Yeah, or is it multiplayer?
No, that was the actual single-player campaign.
I have no idea.
Or, I don't think last-gen there is no last gen version of the new Call of Duty.
I was looking at it, I was like, this impressed me when I see it. So,
okay. Oh, I haven't even seen the trailer.
You're not missing anything. It's just ends and then spaceships. I thought you saw it. You like space battles. Spaceship. You're like, oh, where's my space battles?
Just,
didn't you?
I was just joking because once I heard Infinite Warfare and heard they were going into space, I was like, obviously there's going to be space battles.
There's actually things like there's a space.
There indeed are space battles.
Yeah.
You fly in a ship and you do space stuff. It's sort of like it's like that thing from No Man's Sky where you pick up, like, you get in a ship and then you fly into space and then you shoot stuff, but like way more shooting stuff.
Way more shooting stuff because it's Call of Duty.
That makes
Although sense. I suppose in No Man's Sky, like, that is your option too, just not the point.
And that's kind of sad because I saw like the after that, and I was like, I'd pay $5 for .. it'll never be that cheap. So I get a .. whatever.
Yeah, that was the other big announcement where it was like, we're gonna remaster Modern Warfare and release it as Call of Duty, No More 4. It's just Call of Duty Modern Warfare remastered. Raven Software is working on that one. It actually looks way better. Like, it looks like the way you remember it, but actually the way you remember it didn't look that good. It actually looks better now.
Kind of like the whole Transformers cartoon thing. It's like, just looked amazing when I was like 5 because I was stupid, but now it's like...
Yeah. Now if you watch it, it's terrible.
It's like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, it's not going to have all the maps. It's only going to have 10 of the multiplayer maps from the Modern Warfare. And apparently it won't be sold separately. Like, you can only get it.
Now I'm super mad. I'm like boycotting Activision for the rest of the year now.
$80
Maybe the year after that, because I'm not playing Destiny after this year. So, hey, Activision, you're not getting any money from Tekken for like a while. So enjoy that.
Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles.
Crap, Platinum, no. Ah, dang it. They also made Transformers.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. Platinum's having a... Anyway. So, yeah, that's the Call of Duty news. That came out on Monday. On Friday, apparently they're going to show the next Battlefield from EA and DICE.
Oh, I saw that.
And they're, like, celebrating the new Battlefield by apparently giving out all the DLC packs for Battlefield 4 and Hardline over the next, I guess, months to come.
Oh, also, since Ward is on Infinite Warfare, I totally call it this like a long bit. Like, finally, we can have the Infinity Ward in name only versus Respawn Entertainment game this year.
That's gonna be cool.
Where it's like ex Call of Duty people versus current Call of Duty people that didn't look what they put into that studios.
Speaking of Respawn, so we've seen Titanfall 2 is gonna be shown at E3 today, May 4th. They announced that they are getting to work on a Star Wars game. Like, so Respawn doesn't, you know, they aren't owned by EA. They just have an agreement, like, they're independent. And EA has the license to Star Wars games. And so it's just sort of cool that EA is like, hey, you guys want to make one too? All of our studios are making them. And obviously, if you're Respawn, you're like, yes. And so they are making one. It's going to be a third-person action adventure. And
I was like,
It's the lead from God of War 3. He is leading the team.
I was like, well, third person, it better be a lightsaber, not blasters, because they could do some cool stuff with crazy over the top action. But on the one hand, it's going to be like super over the top and not believable. But hey, we'll just go with it because it's the Call of Duty team making the Star Wars game, whatever. Just go with it.
That's pretty exciting. Speaking of May the 4th, like, if you don't know, someone made the connection years ago, and now May the 4th is Star Wars Day. There's a big sort of, there's actually sales for Star Wars stuff everywhere on the PlayStation Store, and this is for URPG. Disney Infinity 3.0 is less than $10 right now. But there's none of the stuff, so you still have to get the stuff. And out there, the stuff is kind of cheap right now, too. So you can get the game for super cheap, or you could go out and get the starter bundle. I think is like 30-something now. What is that from? That reminds me of Totoro.
The hell is Totoro?
It's a Miyazaki film.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, a lot of the Star Wars games on PlayStation Network are on sale.
Yeah, I bought
the half old price collection or lower
on, and the Super Star Wars, which isn't in that collection. I'm like, why am I gouging myself like this? But I was like, well, whatever. I've done also.
So the throwback pack is only the PS2 games.
Yep.
Racer's Revenge, Jedi Starfighter, and
first
Bounty
I was just
Hunter.
Gonna get Bounty Hunter, Jedi Starfighter, and Star Wars. Cause, like, I haven't played Racer's Revenge, and I probably wouldn't like it because F Pod Racing. But then I was like, well, I have the money, and it might not be super terrible. We'll see.
Actually, pretty fun. But yeah, it is Pod Racing. So
Pod Racing. Yeah, Pod Racing. Nah.
It's no
way to put myself in Pod Racing, by the way, guys. No,
or New Fit Motor Storm. But hey, there's a chance. It might. So.
Oh, the garbage!
What's happening?
It's like $5, so, you know. It's way under the $20 rule. It's like, it's not totally worth it, you know. It might be, because it's not going to be not worth it, because it's so cheap. So there's that, I guess, whatever. I was like, that Zen pinball game is just by the table. But I was like, wait a minute. It's a trap.
That's all they get you.
I wanted to get the Force Awakens like the other two. You don't play pinball again. You're never going to play this game and do it. It's a trap.
You really don't. It is a trap. How'd you fall for that?
Because it's $2.49 or something. And I was like, dude, that's cheap. I can't even buy a tub of ice cream or jar of juice with it.
Who buys jars of juice? How's that even like a thing?
A container of juice? Whatever.
No. No, it is not.
The last thing I had was so there was that guy who created Assassin's Creed, Patrice
Desolée.
Yes, that one. he left Ubisoft, right? And then he went and he was at THQ and he was making this, what he was referring to as the next Assassin's Creed, something that was called 1666 Amsterdam. And then THQ folded and that part of it got bought by Ubisoft. So he was at Ubisoft again.
Awkward.
And then he was like, well, this is not where I wanted to be. And so he left that. And then, but he lost his IP because Ubisoft had bought it. Well, last week, somehow he got the IP back. So once again, he owns 1666 Amsterdam.
He held somebody hostage. Because I don't want it back.
It's a funny story. I don't really know what the point is. I don't actually think he's working on it right now because he's working on that game that he showed. I think it was either at E3 or PlayStation Experience, Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey. So, yeah, I just thought it was funny. It's like, that is the weirdest stuff has happened to this guy. I guess that wasn't the last thing I had. There was a few small things. There was one where, like, AMD won, like, got some design wins for their custom processors, and it was three of them, and they're all, like, coming out within the next year, and people were like, okay, so one of them is definitely the PlayStation Neo, and the other one is in the Nintendo NX. So what's the third one? Is Xbox also coming out with a new console? I was like, wow, that's terrible. President of Platinum Games resigned very shortly after Star Fox Zero came out.
That's awful. Coincidental.
Yeah. That's not cool. There's going to be a Mass Effect theme park attraction at California's Great America Theme Park.
I don't even know what that is. I feel like they just made that up. That's not an actual theme park. That can't be an actual theme park.
I looked it up. It's like a water park, and it's like a two-park.
Yeah, it's one of those thrill park places with the roller coasters.
Ugh. Just go to Disney, guys. Just go to Disney.
I think this one is the final one. So apparently last financial year, Sony PlayStation Network, just PSN, sales hit 529 billion
what?
Yen half in sales.
Oh, I thought you were about to say dollars, but I was like half a trillion dollars. That's a lot of FEB. And you're like yen, and I was like, oh, well, that's a completely different currency.
It is.
So, a ton of money. Someone pointed out that in the same fiscal year, the whole of Nintendo pulled in only 504 billion yen. So, PlayStation Network made more than all of Nintendo last year.
Oh my.
Well, I definitely contributed to that because all my games are like digital except for like...
Yes. I did not refuse.
And I was like, that was back before I was lay off and start playing some backlog games. Hmm.
Yeah, PlayStation has apparently hit the 40 million PS4 sold.
Wow, that's amazing. That's like that's crazy. Almost halfway to 100, and that's like not even 3 years.
Maybe that's why they're doing this.
50% drop to coal. They're going to ruin it all. It doesn't matter. we have to salvage it. Everybody that's listening right now, the end is coming. It may be like, you know, oh, fun times and rainbows and unicorns and ice cream and sunshine, but no.
There won't be any.
So it's going to ting it all when they do this stupid idea, and it's going to kill everybody. I mean, EA's already not at E3. I mean, well, they're there, but they also have this other thing with their EA whatever, where your fans can go, but I'm not in California, so or London, and then F and Nintendo's like, oh, we're going to show one thing, because, yeah, so, you know, E3's slowly dying, and then it's like, oh, everybody's like, oh, yeah, everything's cool. Half a billion yen. 40 million units. Cool. Oh, you think it's great. You think it's amazing. The ride will never end. Oh, until the brakes come off and you fly off the track and you die. Yeah, it's a fun time. It ends coming. Just, you know, keep on listening to Aimless. We'll get you there. And they'll be like, yeah, you guys were right. And I was like, yeah, you didn't believe me. Just stuff goes bad. It's like, oh, PlayStation Neo comes out and it tanks and they're just dragging everybody down. And we're all in the toilet. And then no more games. And it's like, ah, who's going to save us?
No one. No one's going to save us. We're doomed.
Nintendo's like, yeah, this new next thing is a 10-year plan, so, you know, enjoy the 10-year console cycle, because we're not going to make the console for a while. Handhelds. We make games on smartphones now, because they totally talked about the whole, what was it, Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem apps? So that was that was kind of depressing, because I was like, oh no, this is the end. This is a sign. I know it. This is an omen. It's like, they don't even make games anymore. It's like, oh, we'll just make an app. It's free. Who cares? Whatever. We'll just, the end is coming.
Actually, yeah, I was playing another game, but it was on my phone, but I didn't think of it because it felt like a regular game. It was, it's a Layton game. It's like, I think it's called the Layton Brothers something, and it's like a, it's like a Professor Layton style game that stars his son.
No, it does not. Stop doing what you do right now. Everyone just stop doing what they do right now. I am not accepting this. This is sounding worse and worse by the second. Make it stop. No.
Well.
Do not want.
That's our news. Join us for the end of gaming as we know it. Or whatever, you know, we actually don't know what's going to happen, but you can always find out by visiting aimlesspodcast.com, a new place where you can download slightly more worked upon versions of the podcast, which you just listened to hear live on our YouTube channel, which you should subscribe to, and then also Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter, and some other stuff.
Anything to say before we sign off, RPG?
No.
Alrighty.
Let's hit that scoreboard.
Oh, yeah. Scoreboard update before we sign off, because I keep... So we've got RPG with 8, Tropical with 5, Tekken with 12, and 5 in the contested column. Games would be, from RPG, we got Final Fantasy Explorers, Mario & Luigi Paper Jam, Digimon Cyber Sleuth, Trails of Cold Steel, Tales of Zestiria, Fire Emblem Fates, Conquest, Ratchet & Clank, Dark Souls 3, Tropical's got Basketball.
Those are all very beefy games, that's what I'll say.
Travnical's good.
There's a lot of meat on those.
Basketball, Amplitude, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Blue Estate the Game, Castle of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse, and Tekken's got Amplitude, Tales from the Borderlands, Game of Thrones, Wolf Among Us, Assassin's Creed Liberation, Remember Me, Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy IV Interlude, Far Cry Primal, Uncharted, Uncharted 2, and Uncharted 3.
Also, I just found out that apparently Trails of Cold Steel is coming out this year, because of course it is. So it's like, yay, yay, another 100 hours, another 100 hours, guys. It's happening. It's happening. I think it's coming out at the end of the summer, too. So that just, yeah.
Yeah, like Travical said, just, you know, check us out wherever on the internet, gamespodcast.com and stuff. And, you know, we will we will hope for the best, but when we hear the worst, we'll be like, I knew it, the end is coming, it's over, the crash is imminent, because 50%, guys, that's all it took to ruin it all. Don't be like that guy, that was all like, yeah, 50%, dude, look at this sweet spreadsheet, yeah, look at the cells, because you'll kill us all, but, you know,
sure.
On that note, can't end on a light note anymore, because, you know, the end is coming, like, the crash is imminent, like, I can already see it and feel it, because VR... bad.
Yeah,
that's it for this episode. Gaming is doomed. This week, whenever you hear from us again, Aimless Baffle Z, and we're now... So-